Hi, I'm Keegan.
And I'm Madigan.
And you're listening to
Your Angry Neighborhood Feminist.
This is a podcast where we explore the world through our own personal feminist perspectives. And I am very excited about this episode.
Me
because
too.
I feel like it's something that's really close to our heart. And then secondly, I don't think it required so much. We're speaking more from emotion and opinion and just love.
Yeah.
So what are we talking about today?
We are talking about our favorite fictional feminists.
Yes. And I feel like this could be an ongoing series.
I think should be.
This is volume one of our favorite fictional feminists.
I think there's about a 98% chance that we're doing the same person.
I think that there's a very good chance. So originally the idea was for us each to pick our favorite fictional feminist, and it could be from a movie, from a book, from a TV show. Really, it could be anything. And I'm pretty sure that we ended up doing the same person.
And what's interesting is that this person and this show reminds me of you.
Same. Oh, gosh. Okay. Hold on. Okay. We're going to say it at the same time.
Okay.
One, two, three. Topanga!
Yes!
Oh, God. That was really loud. I'm so sorry.
That was really loud.
But yes, Topanga Lawrence.
Topanga motherfucking Lawrence.
Good. You know what? I'm actually happy that we're doing the same one because I feel like Topanga deserves her own standalone episode.
Doesn't she?
Yeah. She deserves the entire...
Literally everything she says could be quoted as like a feminist quote. I watched a few episodes this morning
before I came over. I've been binging.
Yeah. I was watching because I was like... I was reading up on it, and I was like, God, I haven't watched these episodes in so long. I need to kind of, like, get back into that mindset. So I was watching, like, just, like, the first episode that she shows up in, another one after that, and then I watched one from season two. And I'm just like, God, everything she says is so progressive and woke and wonderful.
Yeah, and way before woke was even a thing.
Like, exactly.
You know, and she was woke from the time she was a child, you know,
and
throughout the entire series.
Throughout the entire series. And the mom, too, said a lot of really great things.
You know, kudos and to the writers of Boy Meets World.
For real. Like, they knew what was up. And I did a bunch of, like, different articles. I read a bunch of different articles.
I wrote a bunch of articles.
I wrote a bunch, you guys. I'm really fast and really smart. And I was seeing where it was more than just Topanga and, like, how the writers were able to bring a lot of really serious issues and present them in a very good way for children and also for, I feel like, adults to be able to understand.
It was easily digestible.
Yeah.
And it was my favorite TV show of the 90s. It was absolutely, like, I never missed an episode of that. It started coming on, like, the TGIF lineup at some point, whenever, in the later years, like, when they were in upper high school or college or whatever.
Yeah.
And I never missed it. Like, I had a little TV in my bedroom and I would go in there and turn it on and watch Boy Meets World because it was my favorite.
I remember so vividly the episode where they got married and Topanga was naked under the bedsheet or whatever and being like, that is going to be me one day. Like, I'm going to wait until I'm married to have sex.
So
and
did
I'm
I thought that too.
Naked under my little duvet being like, the only thing under here is me.
I know.
And
and I thought that that was really interesting, too, because she is so, you know, I love the way that they portrayed her feminism, because she was unashamedly?
It's okay, that can be a word.
Sure, okay. Unabashedly feminine.
Yeah.
You know, but still very much a feminist.
Yeah.
And she held her own views, and she had her own morals, and she stuck very strongly to those.
Yeah.
And didn't cave in to peer pressure by anyone. She was with Corey forever.
Forever.
You know, and never
and
had
I
sex
think,
with him.
Well, and I think there was episodes where they were talking about having sex, and she was just really true to herself and being like, I'm just not ready.
Yeah. And it's a common theme you see throughout the entire series.
Yeah.
Is her asserting herself.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, one of my favorite quotes from her is from... I think I just saw this today. I think it's from the second or third season. And it's where her yearbook quote is, I do my thing and you do your thing. You are you and I am I. And if we end up together, it's beautiful.
Yeah. Isn't that sweet?
I think that's going to be part of my vows at my future wedding.
Yeah.
Because it's true. It's like she was always herself and doing her own thing and encouraged Corey to do his own mm-hmm. thing. And then they had their own thing together. And I feel like, at least in my relationship, that's something that I really encourage.
Yeah.
I don't want to do everything in the world with my boyfriend. Yeah. And I don't necessarily need him to do everything with me.
And she loved him.
Yeah.
But she didn't need him.
Yes.
And she was a very strong example of that. Like,
well, because they broke up.
Yeah. There was a period of time when Corey decided that he wanted to date this other girl. Like, he just wanted to, like, test the waters with someone else, which is understandable because, like we said, Corey and Topanga were together forever. Mm-hmm. They, you know, in the very beginning, they dated other people kind of in, like, middle school, but they didn't, it wasn't real, you know?
Yeah.
And so when that happened, rather than being strung along, Topanga said, okay, we're going to break up then. Like, we're going to break up and you go ahead and test out your feelings on this other person.
Yep.
You know, she wasn't going to allow herself to be strung along by him.
Yeah. Well, and then when he was like, I made a mistake, I need you back, she's like, well, no. Now, you know, now I need my space. Yeah. And I think that's really great because it showed a really strong example of what women could be like in a relationship that I cannot think of any other show off the top of my head that showed a really healthy, strong woman in a relationship that didn't just wait by the phone for a guy.
Especially at that time, I feel like, you know. Although, I did find something kind of interesting. So, you know how I feel about statistics. I love statistics. But I found it kind of interesting that the Gina Davis Institute on Gender and Media has found that for nearly 60 years, gender inequality on screen has remained largely unchanged and unchecked. But without an educational voice and force for change, the level of imbalance is likely to stay the same or worsen. And I found that Boy Meets World definitely stuck to that as far as there weren't a lot of women on screen.
Yeah.
But there, every woman on screen was, like, strong, powerful, had her own voice. And even in, like, today's society when we have, like, so many more, like, quote-unquote strong female leads, I still feel like there are few who are
at that same level
as Topanga, you know? Like, as far as just, like, asserting herself and being comfortable with herself.
What was the other girl's name in the later years? Angela was amazing. Her relationship with Sean was a breakthrough as an interracial couple.
Yeah.
And
they didn't address it that much either. It was just, it just was.
Yeah. And I think that's something that's really important, is instead of making it such a big deal, just big kind of showing how normal it is and how that's just how life is.
Yeah. I don't remember the redheaded girl's name.
She was great, though. I really liked her, too.
Really tall girl.
She was really badass.
They all were. I mean, and again, the mom, like, and their marriage, because I'm rewatching kind of from the beginning. Their marriage was super healthy. Yeah. You had these awesome portrayals of, like, really good, healthy relationships and friendships.
Yeah.
Like, Sean and Corey's friendship, you know?
And then when it got unhealthy, it was addressed and talked about. Yeah. And I think it's really great, too, because they wrote, even the men, like, really listened to the women on that show.
Yes.
Like, I just watched the episode where Corey wants to know how to get a girl to say hi.
And I think that's watched that one yesterday.
I watched it this morning. I just want to get a girl to say hi. And I think that's the cutest way of saying it. And Eric is like, what just happened?
My cats are fighting.
And Eric is like, just look at her. Do you have eyes? Just look at her.
Yeah.
And he and Corey, like, does this thing and gets a girl to, like, go out with him or whatever, but he doesn't even know her name. And then it kind of comes out to the parents that he got this advice from Eric or whatever and kind of, like, really listens to his parents and is like, yeah, I need to, like, before I start dating someone, I have to treat her like a human being and get to know her.
Right.
And, you know, he talks to the girl and is like, does this seem weird to you? She's like, yeah, it seems weird to me. Well, do you want to just get to know each other?
Yeah,
sure. Like, what an amazing thing for an 11-year-old boy to be like, you know, I'm actually going to listen to my parents on this one about girls.
And he had just such a strong moral compass, you know? And I feel like that's something that you kind of see with Topanga and Corey, because I just watched this morning, I watched the episode where they go to a makeout party, and it's the 7 minutes in heaven, and they end up in the closet together, and Corey doesn't know what to do. He's uncomfortable, and he feels like there's all these, you know, messages of masculinity telling him that he needs to make out with her, or that that's something that he should be doing. And she was like, you know what? We don't have to do anything you don't want to do. Like, you don't have to be uncomfortable. And then later on, she's talking to him and she's like, listen, you weren't the only one who was nervous in that closet. Like, none of us know what we're doing, and that's okay.
Yeah.
You know, she was always just so supportive of him and challenged all of these. I feel like this show really did challenge a lot of these, like, gender dynamics.
Yeah.
And, you know, toxic masculinity that we see.
That's destructive gender bias thinking, and we have to get beyond that.
That's my ultimate favorite.
I want that too.
On a t-shirt. That's my favorite Topanga Lawrence quote of all time.
Well, and I read this Bustle article.
Me too. I have it too.
Yeah, and I love, you know, she was always herself, and... Thinking back, I think that she probably had a much bigger impact on me than I think I ever really realized, because she says, every time you are not yourself, the earth weeps.
Yeah.
And I've always kind of said, like, about myself, whenever I've tried to, like, change something about myself, it just doesn't work. Like, I've tried to not be myself, and I just can't do it.
Well, it's unsustainable, and I think that that's what it is for everyone.
Exactly.
Like, you know, at some point, something's gonna give. Like, if you're not being true to who you are, at some point, you've gotta change something. Something's gotta give somewhere. You're gonna, like, lose friendships or relationships or something within yourself if you don't just be yourself.
Be yourself. I have told a lot of people, because I get made fun of a lot still for the amount that I talk, and I tell people, I'm like, look, I've spent so many nights... like, sitting in bed and being like, tomorrow's gonna be different. I'm gonna talk less, listen more. I'm gonna, like, shut up. And I give myself this pep talk, and then I wake up the next morning, and it's exactly the same as it was the day
before.
Well,
and here's the thing. You're not gonna be everyone's cup of tea. You know what I mean? Like, it's just not possible. You can't be... not everyone is gonna like you.
But
and
it's
that's
frustrating
okay.
when, like, even the people that I love, like... that's kind of like a punchline a lot. Mm-hmm. And I've had to learn to just laugh at myself about it, because it's true. Like, you get me going, I'll talk you under the table.
Same.
You know?
Oh, I'm a big talker too. Like, sometimes I've noticed in my relationship with Anthony, I'm like, he sits and listens a lot. Mm-hmm. You know, like, a lot of our relationship is me talking and him listening.
But I think that's why our relationships work, because I think our boyfriends are really similar, and that Chris very much is one of those people that just kind of takes everything in.
Yeah.
And has a really great kind of, like, understanding of people just by always being an observer. And then when he does say something, it's very well, like, thought out, and you really listen to him because he doesn't speak very often. I mean, around our friends, when he's, like, super comfortable with them, like, you know, he talks a lot, but...
I mean, and Anthony's definitely, like, loud and, you know, fun and all of that stuff, but in our relationship, I feel like... I don't feel like I could be in a relationship with someone who talked as much as me.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, exactly. I think that's where, like, we even each other
There's balance.
Yeah.
So, okay, so back to this Bustle article.
Let's do it. Should we just go one through eight?
Yeah, this Bustle article was written by Julie Sprankles, which when I read that, I thought it was Julie Sparkles, and I was like, oh my God, that's amazing.
But I like that it's like Julie Sprankles, like I want some sprinkles
on my
ice cream.
That's actually really good.
Thank you.
Yeah, let's go through. We're going to read...
I mean, I kind of like paraphrased it in my own little way. So actually, I said, like, number one, always be yourself is what I put. I don't care what she put. But,
yeah.
I just love, you know, she drew lipstick on her face. She meditated mid-class. She was always herself. She was aware, but yet kind of unaware of her weirdness. Of her weirdness.
I think she was aware, but I think she was unapologetic about her weirdness.
Yeah,
you know?
She wasn't, like, it wasn't something that she felt shameful about, or even understood, I think, at least in the beginning, why people maybe treated her differently, or said things about her. It was just the way she was, and she was like, well, what you gonna do?
Which, I don't know if you ever meet Topanga's parents, but what a testament to the way that they raised her. Like, they mentioned that her parents are hippies and things like that.
I think you might meet them later in later seasons. And I think they, like, recast her mom a couple times because I think Marsha Cross plays her mom at one point.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Which is not what I was expecting.
No, but it was somebody else first, and then way later in the series, I believe, is Marsha Cross.
Hmm.
So...
But yeah, that episode is kind of like your introduction to Topanga as being unabashedly herself.
Yeah.
So she has to do a project with Corey, right? And like, she comes over and she wanted to do, like, a performance.
She had a poem, and he was like, oh good, a poem. She's like, read this out loud, and she turns this, like, new age music on and does this, like, interpretive dance and takes lipstick and draws, like, a heart with, like, an X over her face.
And then you get Corey's line, that line where he's like, you're going to be one of those girls who doesn't shave her legs, aren't you?
She's like, I haven't decided yet.
Yeah, and that's amazing, too. Like, she's so fantastic.
Yeah.
The second point on here is that she was body positive.
Yep.
which she totally was body positive.
Oh, I wanted Topanga's curves when I was little so bad. She did this thing where she would wear like a straight across tank top and then wear a sweater and button just the top
that's
button.
True. Yeah, she did.
And then
that.
You could kind of like see her boobs a little bit. And I remember wearing tank tops and sweaters like that. I had this one outfit in particular that I
your Topanga outfit?
My Topanga outfit. And I would, you know, button just kind of like the top one and let it out and pretend that I had a chest at 8 years old. And I really like loved her curves. And I remember the episode where she and Eric go on a diet and everyone thinks she's pregnant. So she kind of like goes along with it. Do you remember that episode?
I don't remember that episode.
I didn't until I started rewatching this. But I do kind of remember watching that when I was younger and not really ever even thinking that she was fat. To me, she was always this like gorgeous bombshell, I wish I looked like her kind of thing.
But she doesn't have the traditional like TV body type.
No, and she talks, you know, to Angela, who's got, you know, she's very skinny, and she's like, oh my god, I'm insecure about my feet. And then she, you know, the really tall girl, she's like, I'm insecure about my height, it's 5'2" on my license. And she's like, I'm not pregnant, I'm just fat.
And she's not fat.
She's not, but she says that, and then, and because apparently Eric said she was fat, and he's like, I just said this so you would give me some of your pizza. But Keegan and I were actually just talking about this before we recorded, how there's, like, that word fat has become so synonymous with the word bad.
It's because it's so often used as an insult, like, slung around as an insult, but we all have fat. And, you know, I do see it in the body positive community reclaiming that, like trying to reclaim the word fat because it's not a bad thing.
And it's not something that, I mean, if that's how you want to describe yourself in an empowering way, I think that's fine. But for me, something that I've had to understand is that it's something you have. It's not something you are.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that she, you know, was usually very self-confident, body positive. Like, why are you guys complaining about your bodies? There's a whole pizza right there.
Yeah.
You know, she was just very confident about herself. But I think it's very real that they show that she still has some doubts and was still struggling internally a little bit with who she was.
Everyone goes through that. You can be extremely self-confident and still have issues with yourself every now and again. No one loves themselves all the time.
No,
we strive to do that. And it also, I'm glad that they pointed that out because it also shows the way that society can take a perfectly self-confident, happy person who's very comfortable in their body and make them insecure.
You know? Exactly. But I love that she was able to kind of take in the acceptance from others. Cause I think that's another thing that, you know, with people that I've had in my life where we're discussing our bodies and it's like, you try to be positive and they're just like, nope, I'm not going to be positive about it. It's going to be a negative thing. And it's definitely the way that we set our minds too. Mm-hmm. Like if you decide that something is going to be a negative and you're going to beat yourself up about it, it's never going to change
and
the way you see it.
It's usually going to get worse.
Yeah, exactly.
It'll only worsen.
The fact I liked that she was able to really take in and understand everything that the people around her said and like actually accept it and move forward. And I think that's really great.
And I think you see with her in the beginning, like in the early portions of the series, you see her kind of chastising Sean and Corey for judging people based on what they look like.
Yeah, she's got a quote for that as well. Let me find it. Reminding Corey and Sean that judging people based solely on appearance was shallow and ignorant. And yeah, I think that's really, really, really wonderful.
And the point number three is you can be a damsel without being distressed.
Which I love.
So cute because I just watched that episode. I'm telling you, I was binging. I just watched the werewolf episode where Corey thinks he's a werewolf.
Yes.
And she shows up, it's Halloween. So she's a like a princess or whatever. And she shows up in his room and she's like, I'm a damsel, but not the distressed kind. I can take care of myself, basically.
Well, one of the other people that I was thinking of doing for this episode, but just I don't think I had enough information, I was going to do Megara from Hercules. Which maybe I will still do in the future. She's one of my favorite Disney characters of all time and is so underrated. And she's like,
I feel like that whole movie is underrated.
I'm a damsel. I'm in distress. I can handle it.
Yeah.
Like, she's so, like, unabashedly?
So yeah.
We're having issues today. Herself.
That's a word.
Thank you. But I felt like it was coming out wrong. I get insecure about vocabulary sometimes.
No, I know. I feel like I have mush mouth this morning. Yeah. It's been a weird morning for me.
But I just love that she's very similar, where she can say, yeah, I'm a damsel, and you know, well, she's not saying, she's saying she's not the distressed kind. But she is at times in the series. She's distressed or having problems, but she doesn't necessarily need saving from another person.
No, she doesn't run to anyone. She saves herself. Yeah. You know, like, on more than one occasion, she saves herself. But she's also not afraid to ask for assistance.
Exactly. Be afraid to be open about her emotions and feelings with her significant other or with her friends.
That's one of my favorite things about Topanga. I actually wrote that in my notes. She had this really effortlessly cool vibe.
Yeah.
She was super, super cool while also being very straightforward and honest about her feelings. She didn't have to try to be cool all the time. She could be like, I'm, you know, having a really hard time with this, or I'm upset because of XYZ, or I'm nervous or scared.
She would get angry.
Or
I'm
mad.
She would be irrational, and that was just part of who she was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I love that, because I think so often we see people... Topanga has a lot of hallmarks of people who we think of as uncool. Like, she tried hard.
Yeah.
You know, like, and you could see that she was... And we have this idea that people who try hard are not cool.
Yeah.
You know, like, they don't want to see you trying.
Like, with her grades and things like
she,
that. Yeah,
she wasn't afraid to be smart.
And cared about people a lot.
Yeah, yeah. And all of these things can sometimes be deemed, like... like, uncool, but on her, because it was so authentically herself, it was the most cool.
Exactly.
And that's really a testament to Danielle Fishel's portrayal of her.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like...
she was unreal.
She did such a good job.
So good, man.
Yeah.
And here I wrote from the article, she is a reminder that you can be a feminine feminist, and with or without a partner, you are still a feminist and a strong woman. And I think that's something that I remind my friends a lot. That, you know, you don't have to be a certain type of person to be a feminist. You don't have to be masculine. You don't have to be uber feminine. You don't have to be single. There's a bunch of different ways for you to be a feminist with however it fits into your life.
Yeah.
And I think she was a good representation of
that. I mean, and again, like, I think that that also goes into her... deciding not to have sex until she got married, because I think we so often think of, like, sexual freedom and all of that stuff as being very pro-feminist, which it is.
But it's still part of it, because it's all about making your own choices.
It's all about making your own choices, and that was a choice that she made for herself, and she never compromised on something that was important to her.
Yeah, and, I don't think she didn't have sex because she felt like, oh, society is going to judge me.
No.
She didn't have sex because she just honestly felt like that wasn't her time and she wasn't ready.
Yeah.
And I think for her, when she was married, she knew that it was the right time.
Right. And it's a theme that you see consistently throughout the entire show.
Yeah.
Of, like, not of... waiting until you're ready to do X, Y, Z.
Yeah.
You know, like, her and Corey didn't start dating until they were both, like, really ready to be together.
Yep.
And, you know, it's just...
And they were always there for each other. Like, I was watching the episode where he is trying to ask someone to go to a dance, so he pretends he's in a band.
Oh, yeah.
And,
Adam Scott's in that episode.
I know.
Adam Scott.
Adam Scott's in a few episodes.
Is he?
Yeah. Huh. And, she... is like, you know, I think it's like Jeremy asked me out to the dance. I'm like, I just wanted to check in with you first and make sure. Like, they were just always so there for each other.
Yeah, they were always there for each other. And they're, you know, I think you see a little bit more jealousy and stuff in the later seasons when they get older.
Yeah, when they're older, but, and I feel like they have more at stake in their relationship, there's some jealousy. But you have to show that, because no couple is perfect.
Right. Well, of course. But when they're younger, it's just so, like... I wouldn't, in seventh grade, there's no way that I would have been so cool with being like, hey, I mean, I want to go to the dance with you, I like you, but Jeremy asked me, so I just wanted to check in with you, is that cool? And he's like, no, I'm going to go with somebody else, and she's just like, okay, you know, and it was fine.
Oh no, in seventh grade, I was still hopelessly in love with people who I had never spoken with.
Same, yeah.
And
then you would get irrationally, like, upset when they were dating someone.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I was, like, all into a friend of mine's brother, who I'd probably only said a few words to.
Mm-hmm.
But I was like, he's going to ask me out. And I was, like, telling his sister, like, oh, tell him to, like, call me tonight and all this stuff. And then he was basically like, I don't know you. We're not going to go out. And I just remember being fucking
devastated.
Crushed.
Yeah.
And I was in, like, eighth grade.
Yeah.
I didn't have a boyfriend until I was, like, 15, almost 16. Didn't have my first kiss until then. Like, I was not one of those kids that started dating young.
No. Rewatching Boy Meets World, I'm just like, I didn't have my first kiss until I was 16. Yeah.
Chris, got into a relationship when he was in seventh grade, I think.
And it happened in my middle school.
They dated for, like, 4 years.
That's too intense, man. I feel like that's so intense.
But it was, like, but the way he describes it is, like, I think the girl kind of made it intense at times, but the way he described it was, like, you know, they still kind of, like, did their own thing, and they just, like,
worked that's good.
Together for a while. It's funny, I have his, like, eighth grade graduation shirt, and his handwriting is so bad that he had his girlfriend write, her name was Shirley, had his girlfriend write his name on it, and so I wear it, and I call it my Shirley shirt, and he gets so mad at me when I call it that, because I don't care. I'm not intimidated by a 13-year-old girl.
No, why would you be?
Exactly. But it's fun for me to kind of, like, it makes him uncomfortable.
That's funny.
It makes him mad, so I'm like, I'm just gonna wear my Shirley shirt tonight.
And that's
like,
funny.
Stop calling it, though.
Okay. Another thing that I like, this, I don't think this is on the list.
Yeah.
But another thing that I like that I've noticed about Topanga whenever I'm watching the episodes back is she's not afraid of confrontation either. Like, I was so afraid of confronting people, but she isn't. Like, I watched the episode where they fell asleep in, they were working on that documentary, right? Like, about love and sex. And they both fall asleep at school together and, like, sleep next to each other, and then they wake up and Corey lets the whole school believe that they had sex. And, which is so weird because they're in seventh grade. He lets the whole school believe that.
But that's how, like, young kids' minds work. You know what I mean? Like, I get why everyone would assume that. I probably would have, too, when I was in seventh grade.
And he lets everybody believe that they had sex. And Topanga comes over to his house and has, like, a very frank, like, person-to-person conversation with him about it. She confronts him about it and about, like, the way that it's made her feel. You know?
And I think something with Topanga that we see in the very first episode that she's in is she calls her parents by their names. And I think that that kind of shows that she was kind of always treated like a grown-up. She was always treated like an adult, and her parents probably spoke to her that way, too. And so for her, that just probably came natural, that, you know, you always speak to each other in a mature manner.
And you talk about your feelings.
And you talk about your feelings. And I think that's kind of a great example of good parenting, too.
Absolutely.
Of just being completely honest with your child, even if you feel like it's going to go over their heads or not be important. Like, kids are smart, and kids get it even when you think they don't
get
it.
They can get a lot of things.
And so if you just speak with them like they're human beings, that's going to help you get results, and it's also going to help them later in life be able to deal with things and not need to talk around the issue, but directly discuss it.
I guess it does kind of go into her number four point, which is don't be afraid to call people on their BS. Like, she was not afraid if Corey or Sean or anybody was doing something that was upsetting to her, she wasn't afraid to just, you know, tell them.
And that's something I'm still working on.
Yeah, like, me too. I hate confrontation.
Yeah, on the
I
internet,
do it a lot more.
On the internet, I'm very confrontational. I will stand up for myself. I'm getting better about it in life, but it is hard when it's people that you care about and you see things that make you upset to know how to respond in a way that's not going to offend somebody, but also that's true to the way that you feel.
Yeah, I mean, and kudos to the writers of Boy Meets World, because they did always handle the topic of her confronting people with a great amount of sensitivity.
Yeah, she didn't, it wasn't like the angry woman trope, where she's complaining or being overdramatic.
No, she was very good about explaining her feelings, and she didn't fly off the handle with Corey. Like, in that scene where she's talking to him, basically what she was saying is, I'm disappointed in you, and I thought that we had a really special friendship, and now, like, you've called everything into question. It wasn't like she was throwing a fit or doing this irrational, crazy woman thing that we see so often in TV shows, you know? And they did a really good job of that on the show.
I like the episode where she refuses to participate in Sadie Hawkins.
Yeah.
Because she feels like it perpetuates the stereotype that women can't ask men out.
Yeah. I mean, and that's a theme with her, that you see her, like,
she
defying
these.
She
does the first kiss.
And she does the proposal.
And she proposes.
Yeah. So, like, she defies these gender roles from beginning to end, really, like, throughout their relationship. She doesn't sit around and wait for things to happen to her. But I mean, I love that, because that, for me, was something that I didn't even think about. Like, the Sadie Hawkins dance, to me, it was just, like, a part of normal, traditional, you know, school life, that that was a thing that happens.
But it did feel different to me, because I felt some of the pressure that I think men felt. Although, when I asked people to Sadie Hawkins, it was usually people that I knew were going to say yes.
Yeah, but I think it's important to challenge that notion altogether. You know, like,
completely.
just the notion that
because
this
it felt
is,
like, that was the only time that I could do
it. Yeah, absolutely. And And I think we need to take that pressure off of men all of the time. Because I definitely thought that. I was just like, I'm not ever going to ask a guy out.
Yeah.
You know, which also I think can sometimes keep you from getting what you want. Like, how many times did I have a crush on a guy and I wouldn't speak up or talk about it because it wasn't my place? It wasn't what I was supposed to do. I was supposed to wait for him to ask me out. And if he liked me, he would ask me out. But what would have happened if I had just, like, stood in my own power and asked him out?
Exactly. You know? Yeah.
Like, it could have been totally different.
I think that I definitely tried to be that girl that was upfront with her feelings, or at least lay down very obvious hints and say pretty obvious things. Mm-hmm. And it definitely didn't always go my way.
Of course, but it's not always going to go your way. And I also think that those are important things to teach girls, too.
Yeah.
That, like, you're not always going to get what you want, and it's going to feel crappy sometimes, you know? But that's also just part of life. Mm-hmm. And you're going to see that reflected in other areas of your life, you know, not just romance, but your career, you know? There are other aspects of your life, friendships, where you might experience the same kind of disappointment.
Yeah.
So I think we should encourage girls to take that power from the beginning. So I think it's really interesting that our conversation, just sitting here talking through, is matching up pretty much perfectly with this Bustle article.
Because we're geniuses.
Yeah,
we
apparently.
We don't even have to try.
Point number 5, gender is not prohibitive. And what she says in here is, because real talk, this chick believed that gender norms were made to be broken. From the time she pinned Corey up against a locker in 6th grade to plant the couple's first kiss on him, to the moment she proposed marriage, Topanga proved that gender isn't prohibitive. That women can just as easily go after what they want and rock in the roles society historically upholds for men.
Yep.
Remember when she dressed in a toga and presented her class project to Mr. Feeney?
And got rid of nuclear weapons and abolished all men and kept them underground except for breeding?
Which is a little misandrous.
A little bit.
Kind of riding that line of misandry there.
Well, but at that time, it's one of those things where you almost kind of have to go too far in order to make a point. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what she did.
And they did.
Yeah. You just be like, well, that's the only way that you're going to listen to me is if I maybe go a little too far.
And, you know, her goal in that whenever she was wearing that toga, her whole goal was to be president, you know?
Yep, exactly. Which leads us into number 6, where she challenged beauty standards.
Yes.
Because she says, we all wear togas now. It removes the hostile competition fashion often creates.
Yeah, I know. Isn't that funny? Which is true.
Yeah.
And again, I think that I wonder if how many women were in the writer's room for this show.
That's a good question.
You know, I'd like to know that because I feel like this was the Topanga exposed me to these ideas for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
These weren't things that I ever really thought about, but they were presented in such a way that my young mind could be like, oh, I've never even thought about that before, but you're right.
Exactly.
And it's especially, you feel that especially so much more whenever you're in middle school or high school, where clothing really does kind of put you in one bucket or the other.
And I mean, on the flip side of that coin, I went to a school where I had a uniform until I was in 8th grade,
mm-hmm.
and I felt very confined by what I had to wear. So on the flip side of Topanga's comment, if you were saying you all have to wear togas,
mm-hmm.
that could, you know, be diminishing their right to self-expression and things like that as well.
Because fashion is, for me, a huge form of self-expression.
Exactly. So I think I understand what she's saying and her intention behind it, and I really applaud that intention. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it's like, you know, I like buying clothes and wearing certain things because I feel like it says something about me.
And it's totally human nature because even if we were naked all the time, we would find other ways to set ourselves apart.
Oh, yeah. Tattoos. When I wore my uniform, you know, it's the way you wore your uniform. It's the socks you wore. It was the way, if you wore makeup, if you wore a shirt under, if you wore, you know, like what shoes you had on, the way you did your hair, like other things became more important because you couldn't necessarily completely wear something different to school.
Right. Yeah. There's no way to really take, I understand, like, where she was going with it.
Yeah.
And
I saw that.
As a 6th grader, lots of applause, you know, for
exactly.
her. But at the same time, there's no real way to diminish that competitiveness.
Yeah.
It's going to happen regardless.
And it's crazy because, like, I remember my freshman year of high school, I very much tried to wear the right thing and whatever. I didn't really have a lot of friends my freshman year. That's kind of like when I met most of my mm-hmm. friends, but like they were already kind of like a tight little clique and I was kind of working
an outsider.
My way in.
Yeah.
And it was sophomore year that I started kind of like really finding my people and, like, being a part of that group. And all of us, for the most part, at least, like, 3 out of the 5 of us girls pretty much wore sweatpants and t-shirts every day to school. We were like, fuck this noise.
That's
we
funny.
We want to be comfy. And I wore, like, big old sweatpants and just plain, like,
we were free opposites t-shirts. Then. We were absolutely opposites because I dressed loudly on purpose. Like, I have to try and find pictures of me in high school. My freshman year of high school especially, I wore a lot of, like, ripped up tights, like, were fishnet stockings and, like, tall lace-up boots.
You
and, like,
were way more bold than me.
I wore, like, I did have a pair of black and neon pink striped tights.
I can picture it.
And I had a blue mesh fishnet. It was, like, a fishnet shirt.
I wore stuff like that to skating.
Yeah.
I had a black fishnet shirt that I would wear.
It had the thumbs cut out.
Yeah. And then it had, I would wear a lot of, like, neon.
Yeah.
I was really
that
into.
One was neon blue, and I would wear it underneath shirts. I shopped almost exclusively at Hot Topic.
Well, see, we were talking about this a couple episodes ago or last episode, so I found this picture of me in my buckle jeans and Abercrombie t-shirt, and just look at the makeup on my face.
Just so basic, Megan.
Just like,
so basic.
Hardcore eyeshadow.
I definitely wore a lot of eyeliner.
I wore a lot of... Well, see, that was the thing. For me, I wore sweatpants and t-shirts, but my hair and my makeup was very important to me. I took a shower and washed my hair every morning, and straightened it. It took like 45 minutes to straighten. My hair is straight.
So much work.
But I needed it to be like pin straight.
That was also really fashionable at that time.
It was.
Like pin straight, Avril Lavigne, like straight hair.
So I may have dressed a bit basic, but I was definitely super, super into Avril Lavigne, super moody, very like non-traditional in a lot of other ways, but the things that I wore, I think, because especially when I was like in middle school, like I just really wanted to fit in. But it was stuff that I really liked. And
yeah, I think that's really interesting because I think everyone wants to fit in, but I also wanted to stand out.
Yes.
And I didn't want people to know. Again, it's like that cool thing that, like, that we were talking about. Yeah, that we were talking about with Topanga, where it's just like, I didn't want people to know that I was trying. I wanted to seem like effortless and cool. And like, I didn't care if they liked me. Okay.
Getting back to Toppy.
Point 7, which we did kind of touch on earlier, intelligence is sexy.
It is.
Topanga never really made any apologies for being smart. She
I have
really
699
didn't.
A's.
I need one more. Mr. Feeney. Give it to me. Yeah. And she totally embraced being really smart and kind of nerdy in that way. And she made no apologies for that. And she shouldn't have.
Yep. And they do make a point that she chose Corey over Yale, if that's how you want to look at it. And a lot of people would see that as very unfeminist. But for her, that was the smart decision for her to make.
For her life.
And it wasn't necessarily that she was choosing Corey over her education. I think she was choosing her own future that
she
wanted.
Yeah, she was choosing her life. You know, like, we all have decisions to make and paths that we can go down.
Yep.
And I think that we have brought this, you know, we've talked about this a lot on this show, of feminism is about making your own decisions, choosing your own path, and being who you want to be.
Yeah.
And molding your own life.
Yeah.
And I think that's what she was doing. She was saying, this is the kind of life that I want. And that might not be right for every person or every feminist.
Yeah.
But it was right for her.
Yeah.
The right decision for her.
I think that was a great thing to explore. And also to explore, I liked seeing them getting married young and have it, like, not be so great in the beginning.
And it wasn't stigmatized, though. Like,
yeah.
You know, where I feel like it so often is very stigmatized. And oftentimes, you know, it could be not the best option for you. But
I
they
mean,
were very secure in knowing that it was the right option for them.
Yeah,
you
and
know?
I feel like in that time was when it started to kind of become normal again to get married really young. A lot of people that I went to high school got married really young. I feel like it's starting to become more normal now to get married older.
Well, I think that we are at different places too, because different places in our lives, because we're both from places that have a very Midwest mindset.
Yes.
And I feel like that's kind of a consistent pattern throughout time, that people in the middle of the country get married a lot younger. A lot of the people I went to high school with got married right out of high school.
Yeah, and have babies.
That's not something that you see on the coasts, really. So I don't think young people here in LA really get married, who are born and raised in LA even.
Yeah.
I don't think they really get married super young.
Sometimes,
typically.
Though, like, some of Chris's friends have gotten married young. Military, I feel like, is a big one where people were right out of high school go into military, and there's just better benefits if you're married.
There is, and it's just easier to maintain a relationship that way.
Yeah, because they kind of acknowledge your relationship more when you're married.
And you're usually traveling around, you're doing all kinds of other stuff. It's easier to have, if you guys wanted to get married anyway, it's easier just to be married because then you can just be together. You can travel together.
Well, and then another thing that I see a lot, at least in LA, is getting married sooner because you want that person to stay in the country. There's a lot of relationships. Yeah. I mean, my friend Ronaldo and his wife Lucia are married, and they knew that they were going to get married anyways, and they just kind of sped up the process a little bit because they knew that that was going to be an issue.
But I've definitely also met people who got married for the green card out here.
Oh, for sure.
You know?
So have I. No, that theirs, to me, I can truly say was, like, they were going to end up together, and Lucia was graduating, and so they were, like, in 2 weeks, like, put a wedding together, and they were like, let's just do this. Let's do it now. And for them, that made total sense, and that was their choice, and they're, you know, my age, and that was... And it works for them, and it worked, and it was great.
Yeah, and it worked for Topanga.
Yep.
Worked for Topanga and Corey.
Although, like, when I wasn't living with Chris, we got a lot of shit for not living together. I had friends give me a lot of shit for not wanting to get married right away. And like,
what?
Yeah.
Who are you hanging out with?
The people that I would hang out with, like, there was a girl in particular, and, like, some of her friends that, like, when I was around them, like, they got married really young, and they would be really judgmental.
Good for you, dude.
Right, but
like, it's not for everyone.
Right, but a lot of people can't see that, and they like to, and especially I feel like there's things with people who are married who like to think that they know more about relationships, where I want to be like, we've been together just as long as you guys have.
Well,
just
they don't, you're married, they, doesn't mean... they don't deserve to have friends who are not like them then.
Yeah.
Because you can't judge, you just can't judge people like
but
that.
But it would totally fuck with me, and Chris would have to be like, we don't have to live together. And, like, I would get really upset with him and be like, why don't you want to live with me? And he would be like, we're not ready. We're not there yet. We don't have to be there yet. Like, why are you letting these other people put these things in your mind of making you think that you need to do something that you don't have to do?
Yeah. And I was like, they didn't watch enough Boy Meets World.
They didn't.
You know? Because that's the whole thing about it. It's just like, you make decisions that are right for you.
Exactly.
You know? And whatever anybody else thinks about it. I mean, that is the thing about being outspoken now. As I've gotten older, I am way more outspoken. And there's no way that I would take that from anyone at this point. You know what I mean? Because people have said things to me and Anthony. They're like, some guy asked, he was an older man, and he asked how long we'd been together. And I said 5 years. And he said, it's time.
Yeah.
Literally, that's what he said. It's time. And I'm like, I think I'll figure it out for myself when it's time.
Thanks.
Thank you very much. I know my relationship, you know, like I'm a little bit better than you do. I think we've got it figured
out. I like this quote between Corey and Topanga where Corey says, you're my girlfriend and I love you. I mean, we should be at ninth base by now. And she says, why? So you can keep up with your buddy?
Yeah. They always moved, or she especially, always moved exactly at her own pace.
Yep.
You know?
Agreed.
Number 8 is being with another person doesn't negate your identity.
Yep, and that's something that we already discussed a little bit in the beginning, that just because she was with somebody didn't mean that she had to change who she was or have her, or have all of her interests be revolving around what her man was interested in.
So this, like, this says, while Corey and Topanga spent much of their formative years together and made the decision to be coupled forever, Topanga refused to lose her own identity in the relationship. Rather, she insisted that they each have their own lives and hobbies.
Yep.
And I think that that is so important because so often whenever I was in high school or middle school, we would see people kind of lose themselves.
Yeah.
And it went both ways. We saw boys, like, lose themselves in their girlfriends and girls lose themselves in their boyfriends.
Yeah, I still see that.
Yeah, it happens still. And I think I probably got some of these messages from Topanga, having obsessively watched this show growing up.
Yeah.
Is that I don't do that anymore. I do my own thing.
Yeah.
And you should do your own thing, and you should find somebody who wants to be with you for who you are.
Yeah.
And don't try and change yourself to be with them.
I was always pretty open to having my significant other have their own interests and lives. I remember breaking up with my very first boyfriend because I was supposed to be, like, my Mother's Day gift was that I had, like, a phone upgrade. I was in high school. I didn't have money to, like, really buy or something. So I was going to give my mom the phone upgrade to get her a new cell phone, and we had planned to go to the mall together, and my boyfriend, like, freaked out, because apparently we were supposed to hang out that day. And
I was
like, yeah, and that's what I did. Yeah. I just cried the rest of the day, and I was like, I can't date this man. And, like, he told me he loved me after, like, a week. It was super possessive, and I was like, ah! And I was like, no, I should be able... It's for my mom's Mother's Day present. Like, let and me even do
if
my
it,
thing.
Even if it wasn't. Even if it wasn't. Like, as long as you're respectful about canceling plans, look, life comes up.
Yeah.
Like, things happen.
Oh, but he'd be like, you're always doing other things, or you're always skating, or you're always... I was like, look, that's who
Sorry,
I
that's
am.
My life. I have a life. I'm a well-rounded human being who has a life.
Exactly.
Your life should not be all about your significant other.
No.
It shouldn't be. It's unhealthy.
I never really did a whole lot of the... jealousy thing as far as having other interests and own lives. I would be really proud of, like, my, I think he played the trombone in high school, and I would, like, go to his, like, band concerts, and, like, we would all, like, be really supportive of it, and that was really cool to me.
Yeah,
like, he had this thing that I could, like, be proud of him
for. And I think it's very normal and also important to want to include your significant other in things that interest you, and want them to be, like, you know, if I really like a show, I want you to, like, watch it with me, because I want to share this with you. Like, and I understand that as well. But I also think, I mean, we do this. Anthony actually said something really sweet the other day. He said, we were chatting on GChat while I was at work, and he said something about, hey, I meant to tell you that I really loved coming home the other day and hearing you and Madigan in the closet.
Aww.
He was just like, I think it's so awesome that you have this thing that you really enjoy doing.
Anthony.
And that you like so much.
Anthony,
you know?
You like me!
So, I think that that's cool. I think it's cool that he's cool with the fact that I have interests that take up a lot of my time, quite frankly, outside of being with him all the time.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's sweet that whenever I go to record, Chris is like, remind me to listen to your episodes of So Far Behind. And I'm like, you do what you can. Like, it's cool. Don't worry about it.
I feel the support even if you don't listen.
Yeah, exactly. But he'll be like, why didn't you, like, remind me that an episode came out yesterday? I was like, I'm sorry. Like,
get the notifications.
Right?
Are you subscribed?
Check Instagram.
If you're subscribed,
you would know.
You should get a notice.
You would know. I don't even know where he listens. I'll have to chat with him. He's got to use Radio Public.
Yeah.
Help us get that money.
Yeah. Hey, we made our first dollar. We should tell
I know.
That. We made a dollar on Radio Public.
Well, was it like $1.04?
Yeah, something like that.
That counts.
$1.09 or something like that.
It was something really specific, and it was probably from your best friend and my mom.
Yeah.
But I keep telling people, I'm like, it's a free app. You don't pay anything to listen to us, but it in turn pays us, which is great.
Yeah.
And,
I was very excited about that dollar.
I know. We need to frame it and put it up
in
the closet.
We should.
Hang up that email or something. Like, oh my God. Okay, so something else that I really, really loved on Boy Meets World was the episode where Sean and Corey dressed up like women because they were told that they would never understand what it's like for women dating. And Corey was not a very cute girl.
No,
he didn't have much luck, but Sean was a babe.
Cutie.
Was a total...
Oh, I had the biggest crush on Sean.
Babe.
Biggest crush.
Oh, yeah. Even as a girl, I was like, you're making me...
Still sexy.
Yeah, I would still want you. And, you know, he's sitting at a booth with this guy, and he's, like, rubbing his leg. He says, little trouble breathing, you're crowding me a bit, or maybe you're just tense. How about I rub your shoulders? You know, I didn't ask you to do that. Yeah, but it feels good.
Ugh.
And then she says, no, you're not, or he. I keep saying
That's
she.
Okay.
And he,
Lady
and
Sean.
Lady Sean says, no, you're not listening to me. And the guy says, whoa, you're a strong one. Lady Sean, yeah, I play a little field hockey. The guy, yeah, I know that because the first thing I noticed was your legs. And then he goes, whoa, hey, what's the matter? Because Lady Sean is getting up. You just don't listen. You're too busy planning your next move to hear us say no. And then he goes over to Corey, and he's like, he touched me. And Corey goes, where? On my knee. It's my knee. What makes him think it's his knee? Like, it's so good. And then...
I'm going to look up the female writers on the show.
And Corey goes, maybe you sent him a signal.
Corey.
And then... it's when they're playing foosball, and Lady Sean, I know how to play the game. And then the guy says, yeah, I can tell by the way you're dressed.
Uh-huh.
And it's like, fuck, doesn't he punch him in the face?
I don't know. I don't remember. I remember that episode, but I don't remember what happens. But yeah, the way that they deal with consent on the show, it is a running theme throughout the entire show.
Yeah. I just really liked that episode because, like, Topanga was kind of like, you guys will never understand. And until you do, like, you're never going to change the way that you think about and talk about women. And the fact that they actually, like, I mean, in real life, that kind of experiment would not work.
No, of course not.
But it was nice to know that there are men out there that really loved the show and that could see that and kind of understand, like, whoa, yeah, I wouldn't want somebody touching me
and I think
if I didn't want them to.
While it's, obviously, this show is a very over-the-top sitcom,
yes.
You know? And while it's not something that would work in real life, I think that they had to kind of portray it in these outrageous, outlandish, black and white...
For people to see it.
Very clearly understand.
Definitely. Oh, definitely. You couldn't just have it be subtle. It wouldn't get the message across.
Like, Boy Meets World, I feel like, is highly underrated.
Yeah.
Like, I think that it was one of the best, and I'm not just saying this because it was my personal fave, but it was one of the best, most well-rounded shows that really took on every single topic. Like,
yeah.
it tackled every single topic and it really let you grow up with them and feel like this is what it's like. Mm-hmm. We all experience these things.
And when the guy is hitting on Lady Sean and suggests that Sean wants it because of what he is wearing, and Sean replies, I just want it to look nice. And it's so true. It's like, I just thought I looked good. Like, why do you have to be an asshole? Like, I've even had it where, like, I've got this bodysuit that I wear, like, on special occasions that's, like, lower cut and I have cleavage and whatever.
Yeah,
and, like,
side boob. I think I've seen that
some
one.
Some side boob, some inner boob. It's great. It shows the ladies off and I don't do that very often. And I remember I was, like, walking my dog and, like, one of the, like, guys walking their dog made a comment about what I was wearing and it just made me feel so uncomfortable.
Yeah, we're definitely going to have an episode about catcalling and street harassment and how it's not a compliment.
But even just within people that are your friends or people that, like, if I wear something out of my normal kind of comfortable clothes, it's something that's very acknowledged by the men around me, even the men that I've known for years and years and have considered friends. And, like, they have to, like, point it out. And it's like, yeah, I have boobs. What about it? It's just obnoxious.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, you don't have to, because it makes me feel like I can't experiment with what I wear sometimes because I don't want to get...
Yeah, fuck them.
No, agreed. You know? But also at the same time, it's like, I don't want to deal with that.
No, I know. I mean, and I've definitely done that. Last night, I went out and I was literally wearing a mesh shirt.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was like a crop top and I had tall, like, high-waisted pants on. And I was wearing a mesh shirt and I was wearing a bra, mm-hmm. like, underneath it. And that was it. And it was see-through. And I thought about it before I left the house. I'm like, do you really want to wear this out? And I was like, no, I do. I think I look cute and I do want to wear it.
Exactly.
And if somebody wants to say something to me about it, well, then they can turn around and walk the other way. Like, I'm not trying to listen to that or deal with it.
Exactly.
You know, and it doesn't mean I want you to hit on me.
It's people in your life that say it. That makes it really difficult.
Well, I think you got to tell them, like, look, man, this makes me, like, really uncomfortable and I don't like it when you say stuff like that to me. You know,
agreed.
It's hard to be confrontational about that stuff.
What would Topanga do?
What would Topanga do? That should be our next tattoo.
Yeah.
What would Topanga do?
That's a long tattoo.
It is.
Where are we getting this?
On
what about just WWTD?
WWTD. I like it.
What would Topanga do?
Yeah. Because honestly, that is the question that you can ask because while she wasn't perfect, like, she was imperfect. She was an imperfect character and heroine. But she always, and Corey too, actually.
Corey was very questionable at times.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck, dude?
But at the end of the day, they always did the right thing.
Yep.
I feel like, you know, that was, like, the consistent theme of, like, Corey's theme is fucking up and then doing the right thing.
Exactly. You know? You can make mistakes and ratify them and make sure that things are okay in the end.
Yeah.
You do the right thing, even when you may have made a mistake the first time. You don't have to make a mistake worse. You can just make up for it.
And Topanga, more often than not, just did the right thing from the beginning.
Pretty much.
She was like the Yoda of our time. You know?
I really liked the episode where, you know, Corey struggles with his hair a lot in mm-hmm. this series, and he's struggling with his hair.
Curly hair problems, I get
it. Curly hair problems, man. And she's... like, you know, he's like, well, look at you. You're perfect.
Her hair is perfect.
It is perfect. And so she just takes the scissors and cuts her hair off. And then she starts, like, freaking out in the bathroom. Yeah. Like, oh, my God. And, like, it kind of shows that, like, sometimes things affect you more than you think they're going to.
Yeah.
Like, sometimes you can be super self-secure and then do something and you're just like, oh, fuck.
Sometimes you think you have the simple answer and sometimes you think people are overreacting about something because you're not in their shoes.
Exactly.
And I think that that really did display that, where she cuts her hair because she's like, hair is no big deal. Like, you know, it's just hair. And then she cuts it and realizes, oh, maybe you shouldn't undermine the way that Corey feels about his hair.
Yeah.
Like, because obviously it meant more to you than you anticipated. People have emotional connections to things,
exactly.
You know? And as someone with curly hair, man, I fucking get it, Corey. I get it.
You love the first, like, one of the first episodes, then, where he, like, relaxes his hair.
Yeah, and it's, like, sticking up or whatever.
Well, at first it's, like, flat down, and then he puts a hat on so it looks like a duckbill sticking up.
Yeah, I can relate. I can relate, like, being in elementary school. Or
is it supposed to burn? How long has it been burning? 45 minutes? You should have washed it out 45 minutes ago.
As you can tell, this is something that we feel so passionately about. We love Boy Meets World. We love Topanga. If you guys have not watched it,
what are you doing?
I was about to say, if you guys have not watched it, I have the first four DVDs. like, just let me know. I'll send them to you. We can meet up for coffee.
Well, we watched it together years ago. We watched the DVDs together and did our nails. And I would watch episodes of Boy Meets World and crochet.
I'm obsessive about Boy Meets World. Yeah. And I hadn't watched in a long time until
that's
I decided
I
to do this
watched
episode.
All of them. Yeah, and that's probably the last time that I binge watched them too. So now I'm glad that I'm getting back in the swing of things and I'm probably going to go home and continue to watch them.
Yeah, so if you haven't seen it, guys, they're all on Hulu.
Yeah.
So if you have Hulu or someone you love has Hulu, get their password and just
watch
binge
it
through Boy Meets World, because it just gets better and better.
Yeah.
You know, and every because, you know, from the time they're kids to the time they're adults, they're it changes. Like, the show changes, but it's still so great.
So good. And I love that, like, it kind of humanizes adults for kids as well, because, like, the episode where Mr. Feeny, like, asks the new teacher out and then she doesn't show up and Corey's in the treehouse and, like, sees him, like, take away a place setting and, like, eats dinner alone, and it's, like, he is able to kind of understand, like, adults can get their feelings
human beings
hurt too.
Yeah. Like, everything about the way the show was written, I feel like this is just a Boy Meets World episode at this point.
But
everything about it, because also the teacher, Mr. Turner, Sean's parents were very flawed.
Yep.
And, you know, Amy and Corey's parents, Amy and what's his face?
Alan.
Yes, yeah. Like, their marriage, while it was, like, rock solid, they were still fleshed out, full human beings. And the little sister was a really outspoken, sassy little girl, you know, who always said
meant. She has her soccer uniform off. She's like, it's the uniform. I think when she takes it off, maybe somewhere there's a, you know, sensitive side or whatever. I love when the sister's gone for, like, years and she's like, I've been in my room the whole time.
I know. Yeah, that's hilarious. So I hope you enjoyed this kind of, like, chatty episode, like, walkthrough of somebody that we love.
I love
admire.
That we had the same person.
I know.
Because this conversation was so much fun.
I knew it. Like, as soon as we started chatting about it, I was like, I bet.
You were like, non-animated 90s. And I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, we chose the same person. So, going forward, we may choose to do more episodes together like this. If there's somebody who I feel like, you know, or if there's a character that I feel like is worthy of an entire episode.
Yep.
Or we may do some going forward where we each kind of pick one and chat about it for a little while. But I do think that this is going to be a regular sort of segment.
I hope so.
Yeah, I hope so too.
I like it a lot.
And if you like it, let us know. We are on Instagram at Angry Neighborhood Feminist. We are on Twitter at YANF, YANF podcast. We are on Facebook, or you can send us an email at neighborhoodfeminist@gmail.com.
Yep. And you can find us on Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio.
Radio Public.
Please listen on Radio Public. It would mean so much.
Just put it on in the background with the volume turned down.
Yeah, that's what Keegan's friend does. She just, like, turns it on, turns the volume down, and, like, goes about. I mean, she listens to our episodes,
She listens to our episodes on Apple Podcasts, but she keeps it playing on Radio Public.
And why don't we do that?
I don't know. We should be doing it.
If
we're not at home, we should just leave it on.
Yeah, like, leave it on our computer and, like, leave for 8 hours and come home and be like, oh, money!
I really hope that the Radio Public people aren't listening right now.
I'm sorry. Right now,
we don't do that. None of us are doing that.
A girl has got to eat, man.
But yeah, you can find us pretty much anywhere at this point. We're up on almost every platform, I think. We're on Spotify, iHeart.
I already said that, Keegan.
You didn't say Spotify, did you?
Oh, maybe I didn't say Spotify. I did say iHeart, though.
Oh, okay.
But also, please rate and review and subscribe.
Yes, please, please.
Do it.
It really does help us a lot, and it takes about 30 seconds or
yeah,
so.
Yeah, you don't even have to, like, write a really super long, eloquent thing. Just be like, this is cool. Done.
Yeah.
And we appreciate all of those things.
We do.
I'm going to also just remind everybody to please, please, please send us Sister Solidarity stories.
Yes.
This is something that I feel like could be really, really fun for us to read while we're doing our mini episodes.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to be anything super important or big. It can just be, you know, for me this week, just having women contact us through direct messaging on Instagram has been a big thing for me, and women supporting us has felt really, really great. So for me, that's a sister solidarity story.
Yeah.
Anything that you want to share with us, we would love to hear from you, and we would love to talk about
it. Yeah, and either direct message us, you can direct message us with those stories, or if you do make a post on Instagram, then just tag us in it so that we see it.
And do hashtag sister solidarity. You can email us those stories. Really, any way that you want to get in contact with us, go for it. I would really love to get that segment started.
Yeah,
I feel like it would be really good.
If it's something that you want read on the podcast, just let us know that you're okay with that.
Yep.
You know, in the message so that we can go ahead and do that.
Yeah.
I don't ever want to read anything that someone's like, I didn't want you to read that.
Right. If you want to send us something just personal and want advice, too, I mean, we're not experts, but we'll do what we can.
Yeah, we're happy to chat. We're happy to chat anytime.
We like friends.
Yeah, we
friends
do.
Are good.
All the new friends. Okay, well, with that,
I encourage you. We encourage you.
Just you.
Just me. You don't. I do. We encourage you
to rage on.
Later, beautifuls.